everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Tonight, the night we waited months, years for, that generational talent, that famed sleeper pick, Zion Knight. Who's with me? Zion Knight. Wilbon would never hang me out to dry like that. Also, the brawl. Look at the Jayhawk covering its eyes. Zion Knight. What are you people doing? Hanging me out to dry. Zion Knight long. Zion. This quote from Zion Williamson, quote, "There were a lot of times when I wanted to punch a wall or kick chairs because it's frustrating to not be able to move your body the way you want. It was tough, but I battled through it." He battled, he hibernated a little bit on the bench, whatever. It's here, something, a seminal moment in NBA history. Others wondering aloud whether it would ever come this season or if the Pelicans would bubble wrap him. Sarah Spain, first to you, what are your expectations for Zion Williamson's NBA debut?
Well, I expect that the fact that he said he wasn't putting too much pressure on himself will be shared only by him, because there were 100 extra single-game media credentials, and every single Pelicans fan that bought season tickets thinking they would have already watched a couple months' worth of games is going to be there ready for something great. And I expect something great. I don't expect endurance. I don't expect his win to be there. I don't expect rhythm with his teammates. I don't expect play that isn't sloppy at times, but I do expect us to see the Zion Williamson that we were excited by in college, because they waited a long time to bring him back. I expect him to be basically 100% in the moments that he is explosive and great and thrilling, and then probably be on a bit of a minutes restriction and be a little bit tired. That's about it.
Tim Kalishow, what do you expect tonight from Zion?
I expect to see a show. I don't expect to be disappointed. I don't think he's going to come in and play 14 minutes and get 6 points. I think he's going to play. They've waited 3 months from yesterday since the surgery. He's been fully recovered for a while. They've taken it very carefully and cautiously as to when to bring him back. So I think he'll play a fair amount. I expect a couple of rim-rattling dunks and a little bit of Zion show. We've seen what Ja Morant could do as a rookie. Why can't Zion do it very, very quickly? Tonight won't be his best game, but it'll be a good game.
Kevin Blackstone, your expectations for tonight?
Well, last we saw him, he was averaging about 23.6 rebounds a game during those 4 preseason games that he was able to play. He played about, 25, 30 minutes per game. So I don't expect that we will see that, because you can't imagine that he's in regular season basketball shape. But I think that he'll show you some signs of why we were all so excited. We'll see a little bit of the dunk. We'll see a lot of moves in the paint. We'll see something that'll make you hop off of your couch if you're sitting on your couch. And we'll all be happy that he's back. And I just hope that he's healthy, because I'm one of those people who said he
I was going to bring that up. You said bubble wrap. You said don't play him this season. Have you at all come to the side of the street the Pelicans are on? Kevin Blackstone?
No, I have. I am not the Pelican who has crossed the street.
All right, and we waited here for our Hall of Famer, Bob Ryan. You covered the game for 6 decades, I think we can say now. You have seen debuts before. The anticipation for this one and your expectation for Zion Williamson?
Well, first of all, my Ryan Nation, my fan club, wants to know why I got -1 without opening my mouth.
You didn't give me a ball night, Bob. I mean, honestly, it was very uncouth of you.
Okay, you're right. This is the most anticipated individual debut in the league since LeBron, 15 years ago. That's for sure. Remember this about him. The reason he was the number one pick in this, everyone's eyes last year, the presumptive, no one would doubt it, wasn't that he was not necessarily considered to be the very best basketball player. There was questions about him versus R.J. Barrett, for example. It's because of the package. The marketing departments of any NBA team not taking him number one would have resigned en masse, okay? This is why he's a phenomenon. He is a show. But now Vegas has put the numbers at 12 and 5. For the benchmark numbers for you to bet on tonight with him. I think that's a very reasonable thing. There'll be at least one great dunk that will you know, fuel the legend for the first time. I don't expect him to go off and be spectacular with big numbers, but he'll show you why the fuss, you know, what's all
that's a little bit more pause than maybe I heard from Sarah and Tim. You're going 12-5. Sarah, last word after the horn?
Well, I was just going to say, he didn't just say he might want to punch through a wall. He also said he's now so excited he might have trouble sleeping, which I'm concerned about because if you sit him on the bench for a breather, you might lose him for the rest of the game if he's tired.
Tim Kalishaw.
I think the important thing here, the West has a very unusual opportunity. The eighth seed right now is below 500. Usually you got to win about 46 games to be the eighth seed. New Orleans can get into
that's
very quickly in the second half. 3.5 games.
Very real stakes for this Pelicans team, not just for Zion Williamson. But 12-5 is what Bob said. Anyone? Tim, you're going bigger than that.
Yeah, it's going to be more like 18 and
Spain?
7.
20 and 8.
And Stone.
I'll say like 15.
Well, I mean, listen to you guys. Get excited. You're not in the mood. You get in the mood. It's like I threw out a question you weren't considering. Like, could he score tonight? Could he rebound tonight? Let's move on. Last night's brawl, Kansas State and Kansas. This is, of course, a 22-point game in the final second. Kansas State's DeJuan Gordon stripped. Kansas's Silvio D'Souza the challenge. And then chest to chest. Then everybody gets in. Then there's punches. Nearly a stool involved. It made it into the seats. Fallout today immediately. D'Souza is suspended indefinitely. But there's more to come from this, we think. As of our tape time, we haven't heard. Tim, start with this. Who's to blame for last night?
Okay, it's Kansas State's fault for stealing the ball. It's Kansas' fault, after blocking the shot, that they stand over Gordon. It's Kansas State's fault for coming off the bench. And it's Kansas' fault in general for being Kansas and a program that just seems to be a little reckless and out of control. And I think that's where the focus is with Bill Self. Now, he did a nice job trying to hustle down from his end of the bench down into it. But, I mean, you look at the list of things that Kansas has been through in the last year, you know, starting obviously with those FBI wiretaps. And this is a program that Bill seems to have lost a little control of.
Bob Ryan, how did you see last night?
Oh, I think that's taking that one too far. But I do think this, that, first of all, what did DeJuan Gordon do? He violated basketball propriety. That's it. You don't do what he did. They're dribbling out the clock. You don't steal the ball. All right. So he initiated it. But the response was overreaction. And there is the real perp. It's Silvio D'Souza. The dunk was fine. Okay. Show him who's boss. And then he escalated it. And absent that, if he just dunks, turns his back, walks away, we are not having any conversation of this nature. And the thing that's so bad about this, though, it didn't happen in the middle of the court. It spilled into the crowd. And then even worse, it was a disabled section. I mean, they already have come down hard on him. I don't know how far it's going to go. But who's to blame? Ultimately, he's the one.
But initially, you directly opposed Kalishaw saying Kansas is a program that I'm looking at right now is out of control.
That's another topic entirely.
Kevin Blackstone?
This time.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with anything anyone said. I think those observations are on the mark. But I would also observe that, you know, we create a culture around college basketball at this level, college football at this level, that encourages this sort of thing. I mean, we champion players who play to the last whistle. We champion guys not allowing anyone to get a layup at the rim. We take this extremely seriously. This just used to be just a crazy fun thing called the Sunflower Showdown between these two schools. And now it's at a whole other level. You know, the other year we did the same thing when Xavier played Cincinnati, and we talked about how the reason you got to watch this game is because it's so tense. It's a tough rivalry. And last time we saw these two teams play, something almost broke loose. And then when it did, our reaction was, let's get rid of the players because they're all miscreants in this game. So I think we in the media and we who promote these games need to take some responsibility for the culture we've created.
Sarah Spain, how does that sit with you?
Yeah, I think to KB's point, there's certainly a lot of mixed messages, right? Play to the last whistle, give it your everything. You should still be trying even when you're behind. But when you do, you're somehow breaking unwritten rules of basketball and you're supposed to just let them dribble it out. I think the reaction to that is terrible. I think you should have enough control that even if you do have a guy who's given a little too much hustle, this happened to them earlier in the season against Monmouth, you should not react that way. Great. You still won by 30 points. You really need to block him and stand over him and start a fight. And to KB's point, we joke about how basketball players don't fight for real, right? Basketball fights aren't real. No one throws a punch. But then when they throw a punch, suddenly it's like, oh, they're not soft anymore. Now they're thugs. We can't make up our mind. And I think that's part of the problem. This is obviously terrible. There are going to be some serious punishments, but a lot of it stems from our desire to have things both ways a lot.
Tim Kalish, show something you wanted to add there?
Yeah, I just think when you want the general reaction of how should we feel, we should praise the thousands of players and hundreds of coaches who keep this from happening all the time. Basketball is a very rough physical game played with a lot of passion, with fans on top of you screaming, and this basically never happens. So when it does, we can't imagine how things went wrong. We ought to marvel at how things normally go right.
Bob, do you feel the unwritten rule book is still okay? Don't make that steal in the last second. Don't challenge that layup in the last second. You believe that's...
Well, oh, positively, don't make that steal. The coach has said you wanted, he gave that signal, you know, that's it. Hands off, no press, let him play out the clock. Absolutely. The initial perp was Gordon, but D'Souza ruined the whole night.
Buy or sell next after this horn. Baseball Hall of Fame is going to be the lead topic in buy or sell. The video of Larry Walker getting the call, wearing that fire-retarded suit is incredible. We've seen a lot of this lately. It's always good when they get in. But I want to talk about this real quick. The Drew Pearson, it struck me, not getting into the Football Hall of Fame last week, how ridiculous this all is, honestly, that people's career fulfillment are hitched to what the keepers of the keys to a museum think. No offense, Tim and Bob and people who vote. Some of my best friends keep keys. But people vote with different levels of expertise, selecting through different criteria. Sometimes they go public, sometimes they don't, and there's a lack of transparency. End result, a guy who has an awful lot to be proud of professionally feels unrespected and has to work past other people's stifling his happiness to move on. I don't think that's right. We'll talk more about this in Buy or Sell next.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Baseball Hall of Fame, Tim Kalish, I'm going to ask you to check again. Are you sure you checked the box for Jeter? You didn't forget.
Yes. Right,
like
there, right there.
Down thumbing a YouTube video when you meant to up thumb because you have sizable thumbs. I'll say this. If I were to be the one dissenting vote, stopping him from living for the ages as unanimous, I would do exactly what you're doing, pretending I was afraid I forgot but did it. That's what I would do. Throw people off the scent. So Jeter, one shy of unanimous. Larry Walker in two. Tim, start with you. Explain yourself.
Okay. As far as myself, I voted for both. As far as, you know, going after this voter who didn't, I'm not a big part of the witch hunt. I would like to hear the explanation. What is the reason? There must be some reason. You know, maybe they cover the Marlins now and they want to take him down a notch for his work there. But, you know, that's odd. The Larry Walker thing to me, I'm glad he got in. I voted for him the last two or three years, but he was getting 10% when he first got on the ballot. Does that make sense that he went from 10 to 75? I kind of wrestle with
all
that
right.
a little.
So we'll get to Walker in a second. Spain on Jeter first.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Kirkchin provided a potential response to me on my show last night, and that was that maybe someone figures if Jeter's going to get in, they can use their vote for someone else, because you are limited in the number of guys you can vote for. Okay. I think the problem with that is that you probably know that he's in line to be only the second unanimous guy voted in, so why be the one dissenting vote there and make a story out of it by being that guy? So I don't really love that excuse. The Larry Walker one's interesting because what Tim just said, there are also people who have decided, oh, I think he deserves to be in, but not now and not the second time. Maybe
there
when he gets
we go.
Closer to his
Thank
last
you, Sarah
vote.
Spain.
And the problem with that is that if you think he's due it now, then maybe you should have thought he was due then as well. Also, Larry Walker, excellent shirt. At first, I kind of laughed.
All right. Save the rest for your FaceTime, please. But you got to an interesting point in the keepers of the keys, as I said, maybe not knowing where the keys are. One year, you're 10%, but now you earned it because you waited long enough, which I don't like. Kevin Blackstone.
You know what? You are surveying the voters by giving them all ballots and asking them to vote for who they think deserves to be in that particular class. So for whatever reasons, one person out there decided that they weren't going to put Jeter in there. You know what? When you get to the Hall of Fame and you look at the plaques, none of them indicate whether or not the person was in there unanimously, and we know only one is, or how many votes they got to get in. It's about
doesn't
their
matter.
Accomplishments
yeah.
on the field. He's in. As far as Larry Walker, why maybe has time changed for him in his favor? Because he played during the steroids era, and I remember he talked about this when the first vote came up for him in the Hall of Fame, and he said, look, I may be stained because of the time I played and for what I was known most for doing, hitting home runs. And you know what? That has eroded away. He played the game cleanly as far as we know, and now
and
he's
so
in
has maybe playing in Colorado. That thought has eroded away as well.
Absolutely.
Bob Ryan, how about you?
Jeter is one of the roughly 75 people historically who should have been unanimous in the history of this.
75 people?
Minimum of 75.
Oh, explain that, please. This is news I can use.
All right, now that's a no-brainer. Number two, if everyone adopted that ridiculous argument that Sarah outlined, no limit, if 26% of the voting body did it, he wouldn't have gotten in. So think about that, you idiots that would think that way. And number three, Larry Walker, he had 1.5 strikes against him that had very little to do with the steroid era and home run. Coors Field.
Right.
That was the detriment that he played 9 years in Coors Field. It's what kills Todd Helton, who deserves a better show. It's about Coors Field. That's what it's about, nothing else.
Bob, 75 unanimous? Where did that come from?
Comes from baseball, from studying baseball history, which I've done since I was 5. At minimum, I said minimum, Tony. It's probably closer to 100.
See, this is closer to my side of the street. I know we respectfully oppose each other here on the process. I don't believe the criteria is flawed in the voting process. I don't believe sports writers should be the sole voters, and they shouldn't be making the news like they are because they have different criteria. But your point is, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. We don't have to wait 2, 4, 6, 8 years.
You're right about that.
I'm with you there. But, Kalischer, you didn't vote for him years ago, and you did vote for Larry Walker now. What changed?
Just looking at everything, and some of it is opportunity. You know, when you first come on, there may have been better guys or guys that were running out of time that needed to get in. It is an odd process that would take a person from 10% of the vote. Even last year, he was still under 55, and now it's last year, and he jumped to 76.
Yeah. Let me ask you this real quick, because I brought it up in the commercial break, and you talked to Drew Pearson last week. Drew Pearson, was so crestfallen on video. Wasn't that tough to watch, Tim?
It was very tough to watch because Drew's been a friend of mine for a long time. I've told you I sold sporting goods with him in the 70s at North Park. But that aside,
that doesn't get you in the Hall of
Fame. By the afternoon, he was fine and he was laughing about saying, I guess I misjudged the situation letting all those cameras in here. But, you know, this is, we bestow so much importance upon this that he doesn't have any choice really but to make this a big thing every year.
We'll move on to some baseball news of the day. Commissioner Rob Manfred saying once and for all, Astros and Red Sox will not be stripped of the World Series. They had reported that earlier, but now it is clear decisively, no stripping in the World Series. Also, Astros owner Jim Crane had some comments this week. I want to review that right now.
When we get down to spring training, we'll all get them together, and they'll come out with a strong statement as a team, and I think, apologize for what happened, and we'll move forward.
So an orchestrated group apology is in the works, and it's coming up. Sarah, buy or sell it all.
If it's orchestrated, no one will care. If they seem like they're genuine and they're answering questions and going back and forth, people might believe it. An orchestrated group apology means nothing. And as for the stripping in the World Series, I think it's why those two girls were banned, right?
Thank you very much, Sarah Spino. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
You know what? They want to apologize to say we did not win this fair and square. This trophy is not ours. Give it back to Manfred and let him do with it what he will. Remove their name.
You expect them to have that type of an apology? I don't believe you do.
Of course not.
Bob Ryan, how about you?
I think I have two words for them. Don't bother. They're not going to mollify anybody. Sarah's 100% right. The only way you're going to do it is to be totally open and honest. And they're not going to do that. And that's that. So it's just move
NTC?
On. And just move on.
I would stop short of KB's apology. Just take questions about what you did and how often you did it in 2017. Don't offer some blanket apology and say it's time to move on, because then it won't be.
This is awkward because it is time to move on. Okay. Kevin Blackstone. It should be noted, Tim Kalischer did go to the Sporting Goods Salesman Hall of Fame for his work with Drew Pearson in 1997. Spain, Ryan, showdown in 2 minutes. Stick around.
there's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Sarah Spain, Bob Ryan, good luck in showdown. Coco Gauff needed to come back to win her second round Aussie Open match versus Veronica Staya. And now this stat. She's come back to win a match after losing the first set 8 times since 2018. Sarah, is that a good thing, a bad thing? What does it mean?
I'm going to say it's a good thing. She's only 15 years old, so maybe it takes her a little while to check into the game, figure out what her opponent's doing. You would much rather have that than the reverse, right? Start strong and finish bad.
Okay.
I think it's a terrific thing. I think it shows a remarkable amount of poise for a young lady. I think it shows a determination. I think it shows that she's rare and special. And I would be willing to bet that the young Chrissy Everett was very much like that, and their games are quite similar.
Okay. Sarah Spain said it first. She gets the point. We'll move on. Larry O'Brien Trophy, new look, Louis Vuitton case. This is like they've done for the World Cup before, Rugby World Cup, French Open. Fashion do or fashion don't, Bob?
I say this is a very big plus for the NBA. I think that marrying themselves to the single biggest name, which it is in that type of world, in that world, I think is a very, wow. It's almost long overdue.
Wow, I'm stunned to hear Bob Ryan be so fashion forward.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, sure, it's a collaboration with something that's very in, but I'd like to argue that it's what's inside that counts, not only with human beings, but also with trophies,
right.
And the case really shouldn't be the thing we're focused on, in my opinion.
That's really, really wonderful. Also, much like Coco Gauff, you said it was better, it would be worse. Well, guess what happened? You had the lead, and now you went the other way.
That's too bad.
That is.
That's
but
too bad.
What matters is what Bob Ryan has inside. 30 seconds.
I was privileged to be in attendance yesterday at Radio City Music Hall in New York City for the memorial service for the late David Stern. The speakers ranged from Adam Silver to Wynton Marsalis. Did you know that David Stern was on the board of Lincoln Center Jazz? Here he was. And Magic Johnson, who stole the show in a sense with his heartfelt explanation of how David Stern, whom he called his savior and his angel, saved his life and made his and rescued him at this time of peril back in 1991. The point I'm taking away is this. The composite of all the speakers left you with a portrait of a man in its totality. Warts and all, you've got to see the humanity of David Stern, the intelligence, the cantankerousness, the incredibly great humor, and the breadth of the impact he made on the world of basketball and the world in general. I'm very happy to have been there, and I think it was a fitting tribute to David Stern, and I congratulate everyone who had a part of it.
And that was a fitting tribute as well, Bob. Thanks. Right. We'll be back in the 23 and a half hour break. See you tomorrow.